This morning, I really want to talk to you about the importance and value of educating your children at home. But my topic that I've chosen is by using God's Word as your primary textbook, using the Word of God as your primary textbook. And I believe it's such a blessing to have the Word of God. And God has given that to you, and He's given it to you as a parent so that you can pass on His truth to your little child. No one else will have that desire. No one else will do it as well as you. I don't care how educated they are. As a parent, God has given you that responsibility to pass along God's Word. But using God's Word as your primary textbook, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to do. And it all begins by teaching them God's Word. Notice this verse behind me on the screen, Proverbs 9, verse 10. You are very familiar with it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's knowing God, fearing God, having respect and honor for God, which a parent teaches his children. Because that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of understanding. You can start with academics if you want, but you're really not going to gain morality from that. Morality starts from the Bible, and it starts with the wisdom of knowing God. That's what this verse tells us. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It really says it all, doesn't it? The beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. So if you look closely at the Scriptures, you will find Old and New Testament that they're very, very clear that God expects you as a parent to be the primary instructor. The primary instructor. It's not to say that other people can't teach your kids. We have Sunday school, we have youth workers, we have private school educators, Christians. Even in the public school, we have Christians. But really, as a parent, it's your primary responsibility because you have that influence over them 24/7. And so God really wants you to teach your children God's Word. I remember back in the 80s when we were very young parents. Our children were young. We just enrolled our boys in public school. And I remember hearing this over and over and over again, this phrase. You may have heard it. It takes a village to raise a child. You remember hearing that? I don't know if you're as old as I am. It was said by the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party. She would say this over and over and over again. The problem is, I looked at the village. I looked at the world. I didn't like the village. I didn't want to raise my children in the village. I wanted to raise my children, and my wife had that same desire. We wanted to raise our children in the home where we could have full influence and primary instruction over them as God's Word requires. And so we took that responsibility without struggle, without effort, and we trusted the Lord. And how wonderful, again, the results have been in our own home. All five of our children are serving the Lord. They all love the Lord. They're all attending church. Four of my kids that are, two of them live at home still with us. We have a 21 and a 23-year-old that live at home. All of them have attended college. My oldest boy went to Cal Poly and now works at Disneyland. I don't know, Pastor John, when he goes to Disneyland, it's because my son works there and he gets him in free. John Miller loves free stuff. So, what a blessing it is, though. It's really a blessing. I'm not really into Disneyland, but if you have somebody in your family that works there, it's really a cool thing. You don't have to take out a mortgage on your house to go. But here's the thing. We decided that we wanted to teach our children. We withdrew from the public school system because we looked at the public schools and we knew what they were teaching. We dealt with a little bit of it when my son was in fourth grade. Evolution, then there was Common Core, and then now there's new math and all the LGBTQ stuff that kids they're not just learning it, it's being crammed and rammed down their throat. This is a very critical time. As a parent, you should fear that. You should fear that. And that should be, I would think that there would be people, Christians, in churches, as they look at what's going on in public schools today, in the state schools. I would think they'd be running from them and running to private schools and running to do their own education at home. I, I would hope that would be the case. I encourage that when I talk to parents that have the questions about these different things. But again, we are the greatest role model as parents for our children. We know what they need. We understand their likes and dislikes. We understand who they are emotionally and psychologically. And so we are the best teacher for them. And I'll tell you, when you begin to do that, when you begin to just pray, and when you begin to just use God's Word, and when you begin to use the curriculum that's centered around God's Word, you will find success. Because it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of what? Wisdom and understanding. It's very important to understand that God will give you that. One pastor said this, getting back to the public school and where they are, the state schools. One pastor said this, notice this quote on the screen behind me. We cannot continue to send our children to Caesar for their education and be surprised when they come home as Romans. I think there's a lot of insight in Pastor Bachman's words right there. But in saying that, I acknowledge this. Whether you choose private or home or public school, Scripture commands you as a parent to be involved in the process. If you decide to send your children to the state school, you'll have a lot of training to do when they get home. You've got to retrain them. You've got to show them the inconsistencies with the world's views as compared to the truth of God's Word. You've got to do that. If you don't do that, they're going to go the way of the world. They're going to just move in that direction. You've got to keep them in the Scriptures so that they can make those conscious choices as they grow and develop as children. Again, Scripture commands your involvement as a parent in the process. And like it says in Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's why I say that you need to start with the Bible in terms of educating your kids. And the most important thing that we learned, that I learned in early homeschool education, was that homeschooling was much more than academics. If your mindset is Greek, meaning it's all about knowledge and gaining knowledge, instead of the Hebrew mind, which is gaining understanding and using wisdom, Proverbs. There's a difference in the two. If your mind is all about information and I got to get all this stuff in their brain, they have to be ready for the world, you're going to have an immoral academic as a child. And I say that because I've seen it. I've seen that with friends. And they love their kids. They dearly love. I love their kids. They were raised in our church. I've been going to the Red Barn since 1979. I have many, many long and deep relationships with people that have raised their kids side by side mine. And I've watched as their children were brilliant in terms of the world standards, but they were biblically stuttering. They weren't able to discern from right and wrong, and morally they failed at young ages. And really, I learned that as homeschool dad, homeschool parent, it's not about academics, not just academics. We're not trying to do school, regular school, at home. Our goal was not to replicate time or replicate style or content of the secular classroom. Our number one goal is to teach God's Word and give wisdom to our children. And we did that using Bible stories and math and Bible stories and science and Bible stories. We were able to use the Bible as a foundation for all these things. And you'll find in the curriculum, and if you've been a homeschooler for many years, you'll understand that most valuable curriculum has the Bible throughout. And you'll see Scripture on every page. And that's really what you want for your children. Because without the Bible, you'll have an academic, immoral child. We don't want that. We want a child that loves Jesus Christ. We want a child that knows the Bible. We want a child that can make real life decisions. And that only comes, I believe, from the Bible. So what I want to do today is have you open your Bibles, if you have them, or grab a Bible off the pew rack. I believe there are some there. And turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Because it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we will discover the mandate or the command that's given to you and me as believers, as parents, As Christian parents, we find the mandate in Deuteronomy 6. Very familiar passage, by the way. Again, I didn't want my kids to be an academic, immoral person. I wanted them to be a Jesus-loving, God-fearing, Bible-loving kid. That's what I wanted. That was the goal. So let's begin. I want to read beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. So here you have the law. They're going to possess the land. The children of Israel are going into the promised land. Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing of milk and honey. And then beginning in verse 4, and here's where we're going to take our points from this morning in this teaching, we have the Shema, the Jewish Shema. The word Shema means hear, that's all it means. This is recited even today in many, many Jewish homes. Every day they would cite this. They put on their phylactery. I was in Israel recently, and you see the Jews at the wall, and Jews walking around town with a phylactery on their head or on their arm. They wind it on their arm 7 times, and the phylactery on their arm. They put the Word of God in there, and they want to remember it. They're using this text that we're looking at today. They would recite this again and again. This was their basic confession of faith as Jews. But notice in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. Now, there are three primary mandates here in this first portion of this scripture that we're going to look at, and they're for you as a parent. This is great guidance for you as a parent. This is boldness. This is truth. This is encouragement for you as a parent, but I want to show you my first point here, love God with everything. We see that in verse 5. Notice, you shall love, verse 5, the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. Now, to love God with all your heart and soul and strength simply means this: you're responding to Him. You're responding to God. God shows His love the same way in the Old Testament as He did in the New. The people would reject those things. And the people, the Israelites, children of Israel, were famous for that, weren't they, as we read through the Bible? But the number one mandate, command, is to love God. As a parent, this is where it all begins. If you're going to be successful as a parent, as a homeschool parent, you've got to start right here. You need to love God with everything. And then He gives you these three alls: all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. But you've got to love God first. You have to respond to God's grace, respond to God's love. We do that through Jesus Christ. We respond to God's love by receiving Jesus Christ, by believing in Jesus. And so we take that, and then we go to the next step, and that we are able now to come to our children and present God to our kids, to these little children that we have. But we first love God. We respond to God because that's what God wants from us. Isn't that a beautiful thing? God wants a relationship with you. No different than with Adam in the garden in the book of Genesis. God walked with Adam every day in the cool of the evening. God wants a relationship. He wants a personal relationship. And so we respond to God by loving Him with everything, all our capacities. Jesus repeated this same thing. Notice the verse behind me, Mark 12:30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then Jesus added this, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. I love the fact that we're to love God with our strength, with our strength. The Hebrew word mi'od, meaning strength. It means exceeding might or force. In other words, you're loving God with everything. You're not just saying, oh, I love God on Sunday, singing a few songs, and then going back to work on Monday. No, you love God with everything. You love God with your body. I love that thought. That sounds really strange, Pastor Lee. What do you mean by loving God with your body? Well, we do that all the time. Don't we, Christians, practically? Don't we touch people and show them love? Don't we fix a car or mow the lawn or help someone out with our hands? That's how you love God, with your body. You use your mouth to encourage, to build up those around you. You use your feet to bring the good news, the gospel. You use your body. That's how you love God. You respond to Him and you use your body. You love Him with all your strength. Jesus said, and here's my illustration for that. Notice behind me on the screen, Matthew 25, verse 40. Inasmuch as you've did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. In other words, when you love someone else, you're loving the Lord. That's how you love the Lord with all your strength. So you first respond to God, and then you love. You love with your body. You love with your hands. You love with your voice. You love with all of those capacities that God has given you. And here's the application for parents today. You're to first love God with everything. If your relationship with God is right, your relationship with others will be also. You've heard of that. If my relationship vertically is right with God, then I can relate to everyone around me. My family, my husband, my wife, my children, my neighbors, my church. If my relationship is right with God, then I can have that right relationship with everyone else. And so that's what I do. I love the Lord, I respond, and I love others as well. I'm loving God with my body. And secondly, Moses says in verse 6, notice this is my second point this morning, love God's word. I love this. He says in verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be, notice, in your heart. Not on a page, but in your heart. It speaks of loving the word so much that you read it, loving the word so much that you memorize it. Before you can teach your children to love God, in verse 7, we're going to get there, but before you can do those things, you first have to know God's Word. You first have to respond to God by coming to Christ. Then you have to know the Word of God. It's not enough to understand the Bible. It's not enough to value the Bible. Every Christian must believe it. Every Christian must trust it. You have to put all of your trust and love God's Word. Here are two scriptures. Notice behind me on the screen, Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you go to this church, I'll bet, and I haven't been here on a Sunday morning, never been here on Sunday morning, but I'll bet you hear that in a prayer, don't you, from your pastor? That's one of his favorite prayers, by the way. I know that's true of him. He loves God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 is another great verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I love this. It's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. It's the scriptures that bring righteousness to your life and to your family, to your children. So parents, you got to love God with everything. Respond to Him. Have a relationship with the Lord. Secondly, love God's Word, so you can pass these truths on to your children. And the third mandate is in verse 7, my third point here. Teach your children to love God. Here it is. This is the practical side. Notice with me verse 7. You shall teach your children, or them here, diligently to your children. Teach the wonderful Word of God to your children. And you do it as you talk of them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way and lie down and rise up. Again, the parent's role is clearly defined right here in the scriptures. We're to teach the Word of God to our kids. We're to teach God's Word, the scripture, to our kids. Now, there are six specific things in here really quick. We'll just kind of touch base on them. But notice the word diligently, my first point here. Teach them diligently. In verse 7, we're given these ways, diligently. Shanan is the word. It means to sharpen, to instruct. Or, and I like this the best, to use frequent repetition. That's what that means, to teach them diligently. Don't just say it once, but you say it again and again. If you have little ones, you know all about that. We now have grandkids, so we're getting that again now. We'll have four by October. But what a blessing little kids are. But you know, you got to say, can't go there. Yeah, let's do that. No, let's do that again. No, let's have some more of that. You know, you just do it again and again. That's what this means here. In other words, when it comes to scripture, dad, homeschool mom, you do it again and again and again. Frequent repetition. We used a bunch of different varieties, and you can get all kinds of materials from your bookstore or online. A Bible for Little Eyes was one of our favorites. Now you can buy a Bible that's the adventure or the action version or the My First Bible, or there's so many different editions of the Bible. There's no excuse not to get a Bible for that will really speak to your children at their age. And I believe with our little 13-month-old, we can sit down with Bible with a little picture and little eyes, and she can start seeing the little pictures. And we tell brief little stories, and she turns the page almost faster than you can speak. But the idea is to get the word in front of them, and for the little one, it's pictures. And then we teach them as they learn to read. We teach them and read the scripture, but we do it diligently. Number two, he says, talk. You shall talk of them. Talk about the word of God. Talk about over and over again, share with them the love of God. This, I think, has to do with my testimony to them. I can tell them. I don't have to say, hey, I walked to school in the snow, you know, when I was a little kid. I don't have to say that kind of stuff, but I can say, you know, I just remember when I first got my first Bible. We had a vacation Bible school at our church 2 weeks ago. And I went in the first night, and I welcomed the kids and all the volunteers. And, you know, it's a real noisy time, VBS. And I brought with me a Bible that I received when I was 7 years old. I was invited to a vacation Bible school. My parents did not go to church. They weren't hostile to church or the Bible, but they didn't go. But I was invited to go. And when I went there, all week long, I learned the books of the Bible. And at the end of the week, I recited most of them. I'm sure I didn't do that great a job. But they gave me a Bible. I held that Bible up, and I told the kids, I said, you know what? When I was your age, I had all the seven-year-old standards. I said, when I was your age, I started reading my Bible. And this is the Bible that I have. I have it in my office. Very precious to me. It's the Word of God. You can influence your children at a very, very young age with the Word of God. So, so important. Talk about the Word of God. Then notice we're told when to teach our kids. When you sit, number three, when you sit in your house is what the Scripture tells us. And what I believe this is it means casually, not formally. I mean, again, you don't put a pulpit up, guys. Don't put a pulpit in your house and say, okay, we're going to, point number one, Johnny, I know you're four, but sit there still. And no, that's, you sit with them. You just sit with them and you casually talk to them about God's word. Very important to learn that. Discussion, not formal liturgy, but just a discussion with your kids about the word of God, asking them questions about it. Asking them questions about creation, asking them questions about Jesus and what they've learned in their Sunday school class and showing them in the Bible. So when you sit, very, very important to do that. Then number four, when you walk by the way. All of these points are coming from verse 7 there, but moment by moment, you're walking in the neighborhood. I used to love this. I used to love this with my boys. We go out in the backyard, roly-polies, worms. I get on the ground with them, you know, and there's a little bug, and I pick it up, and it crawls across. Look at that. Look at all those little legs. Isn't God awesome? God is so... Look at this anthill. Boy, God, look how he organizes the ants and how they work together. That's God. God's done that, and we have that opportunity in the homeschool. I've got them. Ladies, you'll have them all day. You can take opportunity to teach them in every area when you walk by the way. And then number five, when you lie down. Lying down. Now, if you're a busy homeschool mom and you had five in your house, lying down is an important time, right, ladies? But lying down is an important time for the children, too. That's when they're quiet. And again, we had four boys. If you only have girls, you don't know what it's like to have, I mean, we're talking noise and rambunctiousness and motion all the time, boys. Whether it's in the womb, I think, or out, there's just motion with boys. And so it's really important that you take the time when they're quiet, when they're calm, when they're and just read to them and talk to them. Lying down speaks of this trust and safety that a child has with mom or dad. They'll never have that with someone else. Even a close relationship with a relative, they'll never have that love for mom or dad. And you can have this great time to instruct them and encourage them. Number six here is when you rise up. When you rise up. This is where... I'm thinking about teenagers. I've had five teenagers in my house. Teenagers, they don't like to get up in the morning. Have you noticed that? And we had a regimen, we had a thing. I had to get to work, so you got to get up. So sometimes there was a couple extra. I was diligent at the door. I had to repeat myself there at the door. But to get them up and to get them involved, and so when they rise up, you have to have a lot of grace when you have teenagers in the house. But again, these are all opportunities for you to teach your children the Word. That's the whole thing. You teach them God's Word. You teach them about God. You share with them about God's truth, and all of these wonderful times that we're instructed here in verse 7. Our number one ministry as parents is not just to love them and hug them and fix their boo-boos. Our number one responsibility as parents is to teach them the Word, to teach them God's Word. And these instructions that we're getting, they're just natural, right? They're very simple. As they're laid out, it doesn't take a lot to derive these points as we look at this section. And when you share God's Word with your kids, simply by example, by illustration, when they sit, when they lie down, when they walk, whatever, when you share those examples, the wonderful truth is that even a child can understand the gospel. Amen? Even a child can come to Christ at a young age. I am so grateful that we were able in our homeschool to lead our children to Jesus. That was the whole point. The whole point, teach them God's Word, because we want to have a saved child. That was our number one place of evangelism, our number one place as a parent of ministry. And I've been in ministry since 1986 with Pastor John over in San Bernardino. And before that, from 1979, actually 1980, I started running the Sunday school. And we were busy in ministry. We were doing Salty Place on Sunday night with the kids. I was singing with my wife, leading worship on Sunday night with my acoustic guitar. You get busy and you do all these things, but your number one priority, parent, is to evangelize your children, to lead them to Christ. And when they respond to Jesus, oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. And that'll make your homeschool just totally change. And as they grow older in the Lord, as they get up into, you know, the upper grades, they move from the elementary age into the junior high age, when the subjects are difficult, algebra and biology Esther would look at me and I'm looking at her, and, you know, how are we going to do this, you know? And we look at the curriculum and thank God for that. And support groups. I'm so glad that there's a great support group here, and I'm understanding that there are people from other areas here in Menifee and Temecula. Support groups are very important. We were part of many support groups. DeCaios was our support group in San Bernardino, Rialto area. And lots of neat Christians, lots of good times with those families. And we watched their families grow. We've seen those students become leaders in other areas and college graduates. It's been a blessing to watch them grow. But we, as parents, need to influence our children. We are the primary instructor, and we use God's Word to do that very thing. So listen, parents. When you teach the Word of God, you begin to instill this wisdom and understanding. It's a wonderful process that takes place. As parents, you're pointing, again, your kids to the Lord. And when you do that, I believe you'll have the same results that we had. Our kids thrived. It wasn't always perfect. I'm not trying to cast that to you. Don't go up to Esther and say, wow, your family is perfect. No, 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 not perfect. In the heart of every man, every woman, there's sin. And we dealt with that all the time with our children. We brought them back to the Lord. We showed them what they had done wrong. And we made them confess to mom or confess to dad or to their sibling. And then we showed them what restoration was and what redemption was all about and the blood of Jesus. And pretty soon they just moved from mom and dad asking them to be forgiven to going to the Lord and asking to be forgiven. That transition is a beautiful thing in the home as you're teaching your children God's word. So let me ask a couple questions. Is your priority in your home to teach God's word? I think many that start homeschooling see academics as number one. And I think it's very important. Academics are important. I'm not trying to diminish that. But it's the Word of God that it's the beginning. If you want a really academia, you teach them about Jesus Christ. Because when they fear the Lord, then the world opens up in a whole new way. And as a parent, you can guide them in their giftings. You can guide them. We have musicians in our home. We have kind of an artsy child. We have children that love to serve. They're servants. They love to serve the body of Christ. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. But all of that comes from the Word of God. How important is Bible reading in your home? How important is teaching the Word of God in your homeschool? In other words, are your parenting goals spiritual? Or are they worldly? You really have to have a different mindset. It's a new worldview as Christians when we look at our children. And here's why I say that. In Joshua 24, very, very famous verse, you know about it. Joshua, he asks the question of parents of these people moving in to the promised land. And this is what Joshua says in chapter 24, 15. He says, "Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We came, the age of our son was in fourth grade. We went to the public school. They were having video day. We didn't want video day. The video they were showing, I won't tell you right now, you can ask me later, it was not appropriate for my children. We complained. And the response we got back from the principal was, "When you bring your kid to this school, we have full authority over them and we'll do what we want." And that's when the Lord just spoke to both of us and we looked at each other and said, "I don't think so. Because I've been given authority over my parents or my children. I'm the parent." And that's when we made our deliberate choice to do what Joshua says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Christian parents, I just want to really encourage you. You got to start with God's Word. Don't leave the Word of God out. And begin at a young age. You can start so early with your children. Because the real question is, are you going to serve the gods around you? Or are you going to serve the true and living God? And are you going to teach your children those things? Or are you going to put them under the authority of another educator? That's really the question here. I struggle with this all the time. As a pastor, issues come up all the time, and I believe that from the pulpit and with God's word, we need to speak to issues of the day. The truth is, my responsibility to be salt and light, my responsibility to vote and influence the society around me is clear. But society is going in a direction, and it's not going to be changed politically. As much as you might look at the election coming up and say, "Man, there's hope here," I don't see any hope at all. You cannot change politically what happens. Even though we need to be engaged, I'm not trying to diminish our engagement in voting. We need to vote as Christians. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. But it can't be done politically. Christians must understand that it's not a vote that we make, especially in this state. We have the most carnal and ungodly leaders in the state. It's unbelievable. I talk to people all the time. Our church has become a transient church. People just want to leave California. I'm sure that's true in any church in California with Christians. We just want to go somewhere else because of all the things we hear. Insane. Sharing showers, I just don't get it. It's insane to me. And that people would go along with that, it just doesn't make sense. But politics cannot bring righteousness into your home. But you know what can? The Word of God. You bring the Word of God into your children's life, and there'll be righteousness there. It begins with the fear of the Lord, and you do that, not through politics, but you do that by teaching them the Scriptures. That's the starting point. And then you follow God's plan for your family. Quickly, let me just remind you, the three mandates we looked at this morning: love God with everything, love God's Word, and then teach your children to love God. Now, this morning, you're going to have an opportunity to go to workshops, and there's some experts here. There's pros. I consider my wife a pro. She hates it when I say that. You have Lisa and Michelle and Peggy. They're all going to be here, and more that are teaching here. Your decision to homeschool needs to be a prayerful one. It needs to be a collaborative one. You and your husband need to pray about that. But here's the awesome thing about homeschooling. When you see the lights go on when they're 5, 4, 5, 6 years old, the lights go on, man, it just makes everything worthwhile. It's thrilling. And then when your kids get into high school and they want to be part of the missions team and they're engaged in the youth group, and you sit back and go, man, that's sweet. And you don't say, oh, it's because I did it. You never say that. It's, Lord, you're so good. How faithful you've been. As I've taught the word, Lord, look what you're doing in my children's lives. And then they go to college. And instead of getting wrapped up into the world, they have a foundation. See, you've given them a foundation in their home. They were stable. They got God's word. They have wisdom. They're moral. So they go to college and they can remain in that moral place. They get connected with other Christian students. It's a beautiful thing. And I can't end this morning without saying this, that Esther and I were the beneficiaries of a pastor who taught verse by verse through the Bible. How was I able to teach the Bible to my kids without any kind of instruction? Because each week, Pastor John taught faithfully, word by word. And as I learned those things, I was able to go home, and that was my foundation for the week often. The things that I learned from a pastor that taught the word, it's so important. It's so important. And so I'm indebted for that, to have a pastor that taught me the word of God. We learned as young parents that God had given us these children for a brief time. They're all grown. We don't have that influence over them anymore, but to watch the fruit in their lives, to see them blossom and develop is a beautiful thing. They love God. They love His Word. They were taught by their parents to do that very thing. And we used God's Word as our primary textbook. Let's pray.